Everything changes when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains what it means to have new life in Christ.
And this sickness is not the path that you would have desired. And you didn't want your marriage to break up. And trials come into our life. But I am here to tell you this morning, my friend, that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. And He maketh no mistake. And you can put your trust and confidence in Almighty God this morning.
The single most important event in a person's life is the new birth. Yet this is also one of the most neglected doctrines in the church. In our series, New Life Today, we'll discover what happens when a Christian becomes born again. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Living for God is not only our sacred privilege as Christians, but it is the most fulfilling, rewarding life possible. In the heart of every Christian, God has placed a compelling desire to live for Him. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Divine Help.
Well, we have been learning this year here at Lancaster Baptist Church what it is and what it means to be alive in Christ. And we have found that when you are alive in Christ, you can experience new life every day. You can find that His mercies are new every morning. And this life began when the Holy Spirit of God took up residence in your life and mine at the day of our salvation. For we are born again by the Spirit. And the Bible tells us that there are many spirits in this world and that Satan is fighting against us day by day. But in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. And so we're thankful today for the indwelling Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, who indwells every born-again Christian. Now in our text this morning, the Bible tells us something wonderful about the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Spirit helps us. The Spirit helps us. Some of my Southern preacher friends don't know how to say help. They don't know there's an L in the world, in the word. They say that God's going to help you. He's going to help you. So whether He's going to help or help depends on where you're from. But I want you to know this morning that God's Holy Spirit is going to help us with our infirmities. The Bible says that He helpeth. And the word means to take hold with another. Like a young boy who's turning a wrench, but he just can't seem to make the turn. And the father comes and takes it, holds it with him and turns the wrench. God says, when you come to certain times in your life where you just can't seem to have the victory, I'm going to take hold of that challenge with you. And I'm going to help you find the victory. The Holy Spirit helps us. And Jesus said in John 14, He said, I'm going to give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The word comforter there is the word parakletos, which means that He comes alongside of us again, and He helps us with our infirmities, with our weaknesses. Now, God is aware of the weaknesses that we have because of our humanness, because of the old nature, the flesh. We have a susceptibility to sin. We have susceptibility to doubt, to discouragement, to depression. Even after salvation, we need help. And God says, I'm going to help you by the presence of my Spirit. I wonder how many in this auditorium this morning would be willing to admit that though we're saved and though we have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, still we have infirmities and we need help with our weaknesses. Is anybody else in here willing to admit that we have weaknesses? I'm willing to admit that. I know in my life that I have infirmities. And that all of us have infirmities, and the Spirit of God has come to help us with our infirmities. Now, someone might say this morning, well, Pastor, that's wonderful. And I really believe, how many of you would say, if I stop preaching right now, we've already heard good news today. How many of you would agree with that? The Holy Spirit of God who lives in us wants to help us lay hold onto the troubles of life with us in our infirmities. But sometimes people come to church and preachers say stuff like that, and someone might be wondering to themselves, well, how does he do that? What kind of infirmities can God help me with? Because I need help. And so this morning, I want to share with you three infirmities that we all have. Three ways that God wants to help you. He wants to come alongside and strengthen you. The first way that God wants to help you is with effective prayer. He wants to show you how to pray. Now, the Lord has given us the model prayer, and yet in this passage, the Bible says, "The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Now, one area where many Christians are weak is the area of prayer. It's not that we want to be weak. It's not that we plan to never pray. It's just that if many Christians in this room were honest today, there is not the effectual prayer life that they think to themselves a Christian should have. And God says, I want to help you with that. Because if we're going to walk together, we need to learn how to communicate. And in this area of your infirmity, I want to help you along. And God says in this passage, verse 26, for we know not what we should pray. So the first way that the Holy Spirit helps us is to give us direction. He shows us how we ought to pray. Verse 26 says he will show us how we ought to pray. We don't always know how to pray according to the will of God. And in our harsh circumstances and when we're bearing a heavy burden, sometimes we don't even know what to say. And so God says, I'm going to give you direction. Sometimes our prayers are focused on ourselves and on our desires. But God says, I want to help you. I want to teach you how to pray and how you ought to pray directionally. But not only does God say he'll give us direction, but God also says that he's going to make intercession for us. That is to say, he is going to help communicate our prayers to the throne of grace. In verse 26, the Bible says, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here we see that he intercedes personally with groanings or inexpressible feelings that cannot be articulated perhaps by us. Now, there are those in the charismatic Pentecostal realm who would try to say that this particular verse is speaking about some form of unknown tongues or ecstatic utterances or irrational gibberish. But I would help you to know that while there were known languages spoken and interpreted when the manifestation of the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2, that this verse is not speaking about glossolalia. It is not speaking about a known tongue. It is speaking about communication between the Godhead. It is speaking about God's Holy Spirit bringing my heart to heaven's throne. And what a wonderful truth this is, that God, who knows my heart, receives by the Spirit my request at the throne of grace. And what an amazing truth. In fact, the Bible says in verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. In this phrase, we read that God the Father and the Lord Jesus himself, they search our hearts. And verse 27 says, they know the mind of the Spirit because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man within him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So God searches our hearts. How many of you believe that God knows your heart? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, man looketh on the outward, but God looketh at the heart. So when we come to the Lord in prayer, God searches our heart. He knows our heart. The Spirit intercedes to bring our heart to the throne of grace. And what a privilege to think about that. Hebrews 10:19 says we can come boldly to the throne of grace because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so what I'm telling you this morning is that there's a God who loves us so much that in all three persons of the Godhead are involved with our prayer. God knows the heart. the Spirit interceding and making intercession, Jesus Christ mediating and bringing our prayers to the throne of grace. And what a privilege it is to pray. And we thank God that the Spirit brings our prayers to the throne of grace. And God says, I want to teach you how to pray. That's why it's wise when we're praying and maybe overwhelmed and don't even know what to say, Spirit of God, guide my prayers. Help me to pray according to your mind. God, I don't even know my own heart. Sometimes we try to make decisions and we think we know what we're doing, but Paul the Apostle even said, I can't even know my own heart. I can't judge that my decisions are right apart from the direction of the Lord. Maybe you've been to places in your life and you're so overwhelmed you don't even know how to express your prayers. I remember when we received the call that our son Larry had cancer, and we praise God that he's been healed from this cancer, but I remember when that call came, and it's a feeling that literally you're frozen. And the going through the testings and the surgeries and the chemos, you don't even sometimes know how to pray. But I'm so thankful that there's a God in heaven who knew my heart. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit took those moments of fear and despair and despondency and brought those prayers to the throne of grace. And though I did not even know how to pray as I ought, there is a God in heaven who knows the heart, and he knows the spirit of a broken man, and he brings those cares to the very throne of grace. God says, I want to help you today. I want to help you with some infirmities. And one of the infirmities that a lot of Christians seem to have is just really how to pray. And I want you to know that God, when you humble yourself and when you just begin speaking to him, he hears, he answers, he intercedes on your behalf. What a wonderful God we have. He says, I want to help you to have more effective prayer. The second way that God says he helps us is by giving us a more eternal perspective on life. To give to us an eternal perspective. Now this morning we're in Romans chapter 8, one of the great pinnacles of Scripture, and verse 28, one of the greatest verses of all time, and a verse that has revolutionized and helped many Christians. And if it doesn't greatly, greatly help you today, I promise you, underline it, you're going to need it in your life in the days to come. Notice this in verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, this is a passage that not only speaks to the security of the believer, to the everlasting mercy of God, but it also tells us that God will take the daily trials and difficulties of life, and that in his sovereign plan, he will make all things good. And this is why many Christians facing great tragedy have an inner fortitude that comes from the Spirit of God to stand in those days and to trust God through those trials. Now, this eternal perspective, this perspective that we have from God's Word and from God's Spirit is something the world cannot know. But because of this perspective, we can avoid the drugs of the world and the psychotherapy of the world and sometimes just the utter despair of the world. When we come to the Word of God, there is a perspective that is gained, and I want you to see it. First of all, we can have confidence in trials. We as believers can have confidence in times of trials that the sufferings and struggles of life which we are undergoing are not absurdities that do not connect, that have no meaning, that have no purpose, but that the absurdities, the trials, the sicknesses, the difficulties of this life have a purpose with our God.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story.
Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.